Hi, I'm Carlyn Holbrook. I'm a John Maxwell Team certified coach, teacher, trainer, speaker, published author, and influencer with more than 25 years of global leadership experience. If there's one thing I've seen firsthand time and time again, it's that the best leaders inspire others to follow their purpose and their passion, while the influence of a bad leader can literally tear down people's potential. Join me for a few sips of leadership tips that will help you become a better leader by first conquering the hardest person to lead, you. So ironically, I was already going to do a podcast today about time and our use of time and making the most of time. And time is not always on our side because time goes by very quickly. And then ironically, about 3 minutes ago, a friend of mine texted me that Mandisa has passed away. Mandisa is a singer. She was on American Idol. She did not win, but she was, I think, in the top X amount. But I loved her. Her music was beautiful. She had an amazing voice. Just an incredible lady. And I'm so grateful. The friend that texted me, she and I got a chance to see her perform live at UCF at a women's conference we went to just before COVID, actually. And I'm really glad we had that opportunity because I remember she was just so much fun all over stage, so much energy, so many inspiring messages to everybody. In fact, I bought one of her headbands that was, you know, hashtag unfinished, and all of her Overcomer, just the song, such a power anthem, you know. So I wanted to just take a moment and just recognize that. Unfortunately, she was my age. She was 47. And so that's always, and not sure cause of death. She was just found in her apartment in Nashville. So anyway, what a loss. What a loss. But heaven certainly gained another beautiful voice in the choir. That's for sure. But it just, it's a, such an important reminder that we don't know how much time we have. Nobody does. And whether you're 47 or 27 or 23 or 10, 15, I mean, or 90, or I had a friend, her grandmother passed this week and she was over 100. I mean, that's wow, right? But we don't know the number of our days. Only God knows the number of our days, and it's not for us to know. In fact, I know somebody's asked this question before. If you knew when you were going to die or how much longer do you have, would you want to know? And I think it's good that we don't know, right? Because that would just put a weird timeline on our lives, and we'd be completely probably obsessed with that date and that time and that energy. However, I also know there's a song maybe about it, Live Like You Were Dying. Well, technically we all are. We don't, I know that sounds morbid and I don't mean for that to sound negative, but we don't know the number of our days. We don't know how much time we have. And I mean, why do you think people are obsessed with the notion of time? It's literally the only thing that we cannot make more of. I was looking at quotes online about time. There's so many, so just a few. I wasted time, and now doth time waste me. William Shakespeare. Lost time is never found again. Ben Franklin. Time is money. Nobody knows who said this, but very true, right? Time waits for no one. That's true, too. We can't capture it. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, time is marching forward, whether we like it or not. Punctuality is the thief of time. Oscar Wilde. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. I just thought it was funny. Groucho Marx. Other quotes about time. The two most powerful warriors are patience and time, which for me sounds like almost opposite, right? Being patient means slowing down and waiting and being thoughtful about how you use time and mindfulness, right? Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute, but it's like, ooh, that's interesting. How can we be patient when we're going to run out of time? Time is the most valuable thing a man can spend. Time is the wisest counselor of all. Time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time. We must use time as a tool, not as a couch. Time is what we want most, but what we use worst. Amen to that. So we are obsessed with time as a race, as a species. I mean, look at all the movies about time travel. Oh, I wish I had a time machine. That just is born out of, I think, people's desire to want to go back and fix something, to go back and change something. People have this relentless desire to control, and there's so much out of our control, including the march of time, the chronology of time. You know, people who don't want to talk about their age and don't want to reveal their age and don't want to, you know, admit, oh, I aged another year. I'm like, yeah, it's going to happen whether you admit it or not. So you might as well just face the reality of you are marching forward and gaining another year on your life, right? You're aging whether you like it or not. I always found that kind of funny when people do that. And for me, I own my age. I tell everybody, I'm like, I don't care. I'm 47. I've earned it. I'm blessed to have been here this long. If I get 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years, well, hopefully in good health, because, you know, I don't want to stick around that long if I'm not going to be in, you know, good health and be able to do things. But I, you know, I try, for me personally, I trust God has a plan and purpose for my life, and I will be here as long as my purpose needs to be fulfilled. So anyway, I digress, but it's true, right? Time marches forward. I was reading an article recently about the lazy girl strategy. So I don't know if anybody's familiar with it. You can Google it. There's lots of articles on it. I don't know if I care for the term a whole lot because, to be quite frank and honest, I have a, believe it or not, I do a lot of things in my life because for me, the more I do, the more I can do. And I know that about myself. But I also have a propensity to very easily be lazy. Like, I can very easily sit on the couch. Like, Todd, my husband, is always like, how do you just sit there and binge watch? I can't binge watch. Like, he has to get up after a certain amount of time and do stuff. And I do have trouble sitting still, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm triple tasking if I am sometimes doing that. But I have no problem doom scrolling on social media, which is really not a good thing. I chalk it up too, but it's part of my job. I need to know what's on social. But do I really like have to do that for like an hour every night before I go to bed? Probably not. Probably not good for me. Anyway, the lazy girl strategy is, what I like about it is it really is about forcing yourself to look at how you're using your time in your day and prioritizing your day for important tasks and using important metrics in order to show, especially like in the work environment, you know, how you're moving things ahead, how you're accomplishing things and what you're doing. It even went so far to say, take a photo or a screen grab of something that you accomplished that day, drop it in a file, you know, create like an Excel grid or a smart sheet or something and track all the things that you're doing. When you start talking about that kind of stuff, I start like tuning out a little because that feels way too organized for my taste. Good or bad, I'm just saying. However, what I do appreciate about it is the more I was reading into it, and her, some of her stuff I'm not a fan of from a leadership perspective because it's like the loud work gets all the glory and the promotions. And it's like, yeah, but not obnoxious loud people. Like, nobody needs that. What you need to do is be vocal, yes, and market yourself, your team, in a way of here's what we're focused on, here's what we're accomplishing. And I 100% agree. I hate those days, and I have too many of them, where it's like a flurry of activity. And then at the end of the day, you're like, did I really accomplish anything? Or was I just like plugging holes in a wall that had water coming through it here and there, but didn't really focus on the A level thing or the big thing that my leaders will care about, that my boss, my partners, you know, et cetera, will care about. And that's the crux of it that I think, yes, that's what we need to think about in life is, where are we using our time? Our greatest commodity is time. Our other greatest commodity is our energy, is our resources, right? It's who we are and what we're able to bring. And, you know, I was thinking my word of the year, you know, I talk about that a lot, our word of the year. My word of the year is impact. And how on earth am I going to be able to make an impact if I am not intentional with my time? Because then I'm not going to feel at the end of the day or the end of the week that I could, and I think you could do it whatever we want. I mean, for her, it was grids and fields and smart sheets. And for some of you, that may be like, yes, love me some good Excel or smart sheet. And for others, it might be journaling. It might just be journaling in your notebook. You know, here's my accomplishments today. Or writing in a Word document and saving it in a file on your computer. The goal, the point of it was whenever then you talk to your leader or at the end of the year or even personal reflection to help you feel like you're leveraging your time efficiently, it's in being intentional with it and seeing also where you spend your time. It's kind of like a utilization study of your time, right? In fact, I had my coach Bonnie had me do this when we first started working together, was go throughout your day. And but she did it a little bit differently. It wasn't like an hour by hour and typical utilization studies. It was more assign a feeling to each task that you do that day and then write it down. Like for me, it was choose a feeling, name a feeling that you love. Like I love Broadway. I love Broadway musicals. So I thought, okay, Broadway feeling, right? The good stuff. The like, oh, I love doing this. This is great. I feel like I'm adding value when I do this task. I feel like it's a good use of my time. And then something that I don't like, add to the tasks where I'm like, I don't feel good about that. Didn't like it. And people are going to go, what? I can't believe you're going to say this. The only vegetable I do not like is asparagus. And here's the funny thing. I loved it as a kid, believe it or not. My mom used to make it all the time. I'm convinced I got burned out on it, and now I just don't want it anymore. So I named my negative feeling asparagus. So I had my Broadway feeling, my asparagus feelings. And so I went through my day, and as I was doing these tasks, just like the lazy girl tells us to do, I was going through and seeing, wow, so that really was great information to have, that what I enjoyed throughout my day is I really enjoy mentoring people. I really enjoy talking to people. I really enjoy being a service, connecting with others, being around people in those settings. I really, really asparagusly hated everything that has to do with calculating numbers or tracking mechanisms or, I hate to say it, grids, you know. Sorry, my grid friends, nothing personal. You do you, and I'm grateful for you because you're the people that keep us out of jail when it comes to budgets and AOPs and all the fun things of finance. I really do. I respect it a lot. It's just not how my brain works and functions. But anyway, so this to me was a simpler way of doing something like that. And then it also helped me identify where do I feel like I'm adding value and what are the things I need to cut back and cut out so I can have more time for the things that not only I value, but that I know that my leaders value, the people around me value, partners value, that's going to help me in my job and it's going to help me showcase what me and my team are doing, right? So just one of the strategies. And I also it helps you look at your day overall. If you do this, not just from a work perspective, do it from like a home and a life perspective. You know, I pick up my phone probably way too much. I scroll on social media definitely too much. But part of it is because I do like staying connected. I don't get involved with the drama that's on there and the arguing and stuff. But it was funny, one time recently I was looking through it and up pops an ad that says, replace your doom scrolling with, you know, 20 minute book summaries, learn something instead or something like that. And I'm all, oh my gosh, do I totally need this? It's like they know the algorithm actually got me and was actually accurate that time. So when you look at your day and you think about, if I don't get these 10 minutes back or 20 minutes back or just even a short period of time, like don't go pressuring yourself and go, how am I spending, you know, 9 to 5 Monday through Friday? Just focus on where is there a few minutes of time each day that maybe if I replace it with something else, I might feel like I've accomplished more or done more. And I don't mean more in quantity. I mean more in quality. And again, I'm not here to judge anybody. Like we all do this, right? We all have our version of social media scrolling. It could be binge watching a TV show. It could be, you know, just, again, I know I'm going to, like, someone's going to argue with me going, but those are my, like, escape moments. And that feels good to have that downtime and be able just to cut loose and veg on the couch. There's nothing wrong about that. I mean, I even read one of those quotes, like, you know, that's not wasted time if it truly is benefiting you in the way of, this is helping my brain kind of decompress. This is helping me laugh, right? I watch a lot of comedic stuff because I love to laugh and laugh is healthy. But is there also other things? Like, are you even intentional enough with those moments in your day? And again, I'm talking to myself too, to say, well, does this really feel good? Or is it a momentary escapism? And then all the other stuff is really like just sitting there waiting for me and all I'm doing is procrastinating against it? Or is there also other ways to relax that might feel or add more value to my life? Or maybe watch one or two episodes of my favorite show, not all eight of them in the whole season, which I'm super guilty of. I'm majorly a binge watcher. And it's funny, like I don't watch as much TV as I used to, but then when I do, I go all in and I binge. So when I find a show, I'm picky and I'm discerning about the shows that I watch these days, but I definitely go all in on it a little too much. Again, everybody's different, but the point is like, you don't want to find yourself saying, if only I had more time. We all have enough time. We just don't prioritize the things that matter. That's the key. And we let it get away from us. All right, let's get into some sips before I waste any more of your time. Ba-dum-bum. First sip. Take some time. Huh? Determine how you view time. Are you mindful of time? Are you present in the moment? Are you truly present in knowing that in this moment, in the next 5 minutes, I can decide what I'm going to do in this task? Like, how do you view time? Or are you looking at time as more, it's just sort of there and you don't really think about it? You go about your business, you're more task-oriented, maybe even relationally oriented, but you're not really putting a cap on how much time you're devoting to any of those activities. So how do you view time? All right, second sip. Are you letting time control you versus taking control of your time? Just some examples. Are you passive with your calendar at work in the name of other people need to meet with me, so I have to accept these invites? Or, well, that's a leader, that's an executive, that's someone, oh man, I have to. I can't tell you how many times I've had this conversation with people. We try to block our calendars just on Fridays, one day a week, so we can have desk time, downtime, you know, catch up time on things, because we have meetings so much at work. And then it's like, oh, well, now everybody's cutting into my Friday, so now I have meetings all day Friday too, and I don't have that time yet. But is that our fault? Are we setting appropriate boundaries with people? What if we just declined and said, I'm sorry, you know, I have a conflict that during this time. You know, I can meet Monday through Thursday at this time. Give alternative times. We have to protect our time because no one else is going to do it for us. We do control our own calendars. If we're that and that, no, you don't. I have to do whatever my boss said. You can set boundaries with your boss. You can set boundaries with your partners. You do control your own time. Literally, you want me to get really, really like micro on this? You technically choose to be in the job that you have. You choose your work environment. You choose the type of job it is. I know, getting a little deeper here, but it's true. These are all choices we make. Ergo, you have the ability to set boundaries with people. I mean, if you're watching the clock too, waiting for it to just hit 5 every day and constantly wanting Friday to come, I mean, that's information for us too. Are we wasting our time in a job or a role where we're not feeling fulfilled, where we're not feeling like we add value, where it's not a good use of the precious time that we have? Something to think about. All right, final sip. Just a little bit of life work. Something really easy. Where can you save 10 minutes of time in your day? Instead of focusing on where do I spend, focus on like, where's just 10 minutes in the day that I can save? And if you only had those 10 minutes all to yourself, how would you spend it? That would bring you joy, that would give you a little uplift, that would maybe calm your mind. Maybe it's meditating. Maybe it's reading a book, a few chapters of a book. Maybe it's just like making an awesome cup of coffee. Maybe going and having a cup of coffee, sitting in a coffee shop. I mean, you guys know what I'd be doing. 10 minutes of just maybe sit on the floor and stretch. You know, just stretch and breathe. There's so many different things you could do. Watch a YouTube video, watch a TED Talk. Just 10 minutes a day, just where you feel like this is my time. And I'm going to use it to to do something new, something different, or something that's just going to self-care my heart and my mind. Look, we can't stop time, but we can change our perspective of time, and we can definitely change how we use our time to do more of what we value. And hopefully at the end of every day, feel good about it. Have more Broadway feelings than asparagus feelings, like for me. And hopefully, you know, we don't get it back. No matter how many years we have on this earth, no matter how many days, being mindful, being intentional with our time, you know, we need to use it wisely. So hopefully you felt this podcast was a good use of your time. Thank you for having a cup of coffee with me. For more sips and tips, connect with me on social and follow Leader Sips on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And don't forget to visit my website, carlynholbrook.com. Until next time, keep on brewing.